Get ready for another big summer weekend. There is a lot going on. I want to follow up Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. May I introduce you to Jimmy Cohen, who's, to me, the unofficial mayor of the Strip District, but he's part of the Strip District Neighborhood Association, and he is a prominent business owner. Yenzer's, you've seen his stores there?
Absolutely, been in them.
On Penn, yeah. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
You know, I've never been better.
How many years have you been in the Strip District now?
I have been in the Strip District for 30 years, 12 years as a street vendor, and 18 years as a business owner, and I also own property.
And you've seen the arc of, I think, right now, the Strip District is the hottest neighborhood in town. With the new terminal and, of course, all the eclectic shops like your own on Penn, and then Smallman with all the new stuff and the infrastructure, it's the hot neighborhood, right?
Absolutely, it's hot. I've seen growth to where when we originally started. I mean, we weren't even open on Sundays, you know, and now Sundays are second best day of the week.
And that said, this effort, and we talked last half hour with Eric Moore from Bike Pittsburgh, and he said they've been working since 2002 in this city to create the bike lanes in many neighborhoods, and now they want to do an extension of a plan in the Strip District, but the way the Strip is configured, you don't support that effort, do you?
Absolutely not. I mean, we get over 7 million people to come to the Strip District a year. So, you know, limiting access to the Strip would kill the businesses. I mean, if it were just one project like this, it wouldn't be as bad. But we also have coming up Liberty Avenue project, which they're going to take two lanes off of Liberty. And also our construction everywhere is, you know, it impacts the businesses. So for instance, you know, eventually they're on Smallman across from the church, they're going to take that parking lot away. And when they take that parking lot away, we're going to lose one lane on Penn, two lanes on Liberty, and then we're going to lose Smallman Street because of construction. I mean, It will devastate the Strip District, and I understand. Bike Pittsburgh has their, you know, their goals is to, you know, have bike lanes on every street in the city, and it just so happens our street is very safe for biking. They did a 5-year study. And there was not one bike accident on Smallman Street where somebody went to the hospital. Also, our other group, which is the Strip District Neighbors, they also put out in one of their newsletters that we are 82% bikeable.
So the question I would have at this point is do you think that this is going to go through, or do you have a group well organized to resist it? And what is the plan to do that?
So at this point, we're looking at all different angles because we're not exactly sure that this is legal. You know, in the state of Pennsylvania, it's not legal to have a bike lane against a curb and then have parking next to it. So, but this is a city-run road. But maybe down the line we could lose our funding for our light project through PennDOT.
What's the light project?
We're gonna have traffic light put on 27th Street.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds to me, Jimmy, with the draft coming. The largest spectator event in the history of southwestern Pennsylvania, and no doubt the Strip will be a hot spot for tourists. all of this construction and stuff, is it going to be done by April?
Well, you know, we've been talking about this with Domi for the past 2 years. And when this project originally started, you know, the city and Domi told us this project has nothing to do with bikes. So all of a sudden, they did economic studies, and they found that, you know, the road really doesn't need to be slowed down, because, you know, having one lane would actually affect deliveries, also affect parking. And, you know, we actually have a meeting later with the lady that runs the vending. They want to change the vending also in the strip, and also bring in food trucks.
Well, you got a lot on your plate right now. We'll see where this goes.
And besides that, from 22nd Street all the way to 31st, they're going to put parking meters. So it to us, I mean, it seems almost like we're being attacked. You know, I mean, you know, all of our food businesses that pay taxes are going to have food trucks in front of their stores and restaurants. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have, I was over in the terminal building yesterday, and 8 o'clock at night, somebody was getting a ticket. So they're going to have, not only are they going to have parking meters, but they're going to have 24-hour enforcement. So, and, you know,
24-hour? When is this meeting taking place that you're talking about?
Well, we will have a meeting with Domi about that. That's a separate meeting.
Who is Domi, so people know?
It's the Department of Motor Vehicle and Infrastructure. So they, what bothers me when it comes to a lot of these situations is Bike Pittsburgh gets $1.5 million a year from the city for bike projects. So, which I'm okay with, but we could have this particular project, you know, we could slow the traffic down by bringing in lights and something else that wouldn't be so damaging to especially our EMS and our fire department. I mean, if there's a major problem downtown and there is a broken down vehicle on Penn Avenue, I mean, it's going to be a problem. And, you know, or deliveries in the middle of the street. I mean, you know, they're going to have delivery zones, which also is going to take up parking.
All right. Well, let us know when you have the next meeting and we'll get an update. Mm-hmm. Obviously very important.
I mean, you know, Larry, you know, the Strip District, just think about this. You know, all the trouble that's going on the South Side, you know, other areas like Garfield, you know, they've been working on Garfield since 2009. Okay. I mean, we can't have that here. It would destroy us. Now there, you know, at the beginning, it's going to be, you know, from 31st to 22nd, but certainly they're going to want to push through eventually. And if they put a bike lane straight down Penn Avenue, it'll destroy Penn Avenue.
All right, Jimmy. To be continued.
All right, Larry.
Appreciate the time.
I appreciate you. Thank you, my friend.
The two quick questions I have that haven't been answered yet. How much use is there of the bike lanes in the city of Pittsburgh? Yeah. That's number one. You know, just how much bike traffic is there? And the second one is anyone talking about expanding parking options for people in the strip? Because let's face it, you drive down there, you got to park somewhere, and then you walk around. It's like almost a pedestrian mall.
Yet at the same time, it's becoming increasingly more popular and in demand. So
yeah,
they got to figure this out before April. They got to make it as good as they can for this draft thing, at minimum.
No question.
And we're going to talk to another owner of a business there in a minute. Well, we've touched a nerve for some people, Paul. Another business owner in the Strip, from Bloomin' Garden florist Tim Ludwig. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
So, how are you? We just, I assume you know Jimmy Cohen, the Yinzer, right?
Yeah, it's hard not to know Jimmy in the Strip.
I could sense the frustration in Jimmy. The more he talked about it, what's going on in the Strip, you could hear the passion come out. So give us an idea. We know the Strip is a hot destination point right now with all the new infrastructure, with the new terminal on Smallman, with all the great eclectic opportunities on Penn. What is the state of the Strip from your perspective?
Well, I think the Strip is definitely one of the hottest communities in Pittsburgh. Our population has been doubling constantly. I think we're almost 10 times the population we were 20 years ago. We are constantly expanding. There's the heart of the Strip with Jimmy's in, up to all the way to 31st. We have construction projects constantly. So it's just a growing community, and we love it here and want to see it succeed.
Tim, it sounds like you're saying that it's a very resilient place for someone to be in business, but the concerns about the alterations to traffic patterns, especially on Penn Avenue, have everyone deeply concerned.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't against bikes. The Strip District loves bikes. We're rated one of the most bike-friendly communities in Pittsburgh already. That's section of the Strip District that they're redesigning on Penn Avenue, there hasn't been a bike accident reported since the Sharrows were installed, which is the kind of painted lanes on Penn. This is more you have to look at the overall view in the Strip. I think Jimmy mentioned it, that Liberty Avenue right now is four lanes. That's going down to two lanes. That's going to be a two-year construction project that we're looking at. So the city wants to reduce Penn Avenue first, then do two on Liberty. It kind of seems like they're putting the cart before the first horse here. Let's do Liberty. Everyone agrees that's the most unsafe street in the Strip. And we don't see the same advocacy for redesigning Liberty, but that definitely has the most accidents. The city's putting forth the money with the state to redesign there, but we have... That's going down from four lanes to two lanes, one in each direction, and there's a turning lane in the middle.
So that is happening, Tim, you're saying, for sure.
Yes, that is happening. They secured the funding for that. And then that's just one of the many projects. So you have Liberty Avenue being done. You have the 28th Street Bridge that comes down from Polish Hill. That's a project. The project that actually wasn't on the docket from Polish Hill is the Heron Avenue bridge is now shut down, so 28th is the only way down from there. Smallman Street's getting a redesign, and Penn Avenue has a light project too that was in the works that they kind of broke this bike lane proposal off of it.
Well, you have, as we talked with Jimmy Cohen from the Strip District, the largest spectator event in the history of this town. You need to be open for business as wide open as possible through at least April anyway.
Yeah, and, you know, if this is about safety, there's numerous things we can do. I mean, the latest speed data actually shows that there isn't a speeding problem in this section, that it doesn't even meet the traffic calming data that the city wants. But we had bump outs installed in around 2019, and they haven't been fixed since then. If people don't know, that's those plastic flex posts at the corners. And I'd say they went up in, you know, a couple days, and a couple days later, half of them were missing. And they haven't been fixed since. Yeah. So
there are a lot of other pressing issues than putting a bike lane on Penn.
Yeah, if the issue... I think I heard Bike Pittsburgh State of trucks loading in a lane, which does happen very often here, and the Domi is proposing new loading zones. we could have new loading zones now without a redesign. I mean, we could have new stop signs. We could have speed bumps. We could have flashing crosswalks. There's a lot of different ways. This is kind of we're choosing the most drastic way to do it right now.
And when's the next big meeting?
You never know. I mean, the city introduced this of May of last year in a meeting, and then said, "Hey, we'll meet with you guys." And then the next update we got from May of last year was this past month in June, and the update was just, "Oh, here's some updated traffic data. We're still meeting with people." So we haven't had much public information from the city.
Have you reached out to primary winner Corey O'Connor, who may be running the city soon?
I'm just trying to run a business and be successful and seeing the strip successful. I mean, I haven't talked to Mr. O'Connor myself. I don't plan to. I will change with the strip, however it happens. But I mean, I don't want to see probably the most up and coming community in the city. You know, everything's moving from downtown to here. We don't want to slow this growth. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit, see Liberty, see the new developments that are coming on the rest of Penn, the rest of Smallman. I mean, we have projects from Salem's Market to 31st Street. There's new apartments. There's new apartments on Smallman. I mean, Railroad, if you went down there 20 years ago, none of those buildings existed.
Now, it's incredible.
From, you know, 15th Street to 30th, there's just tons of new projects constantly.
All right, well, keep us posted. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
From Bloom and Garden Florists at 2650 on Penn Avenue, by the way, in the Strip, Mr. Ludwig. Ludwig Florist, very famous in this town.
I picked up a couple of new items I was unaware of there. That was good.
And until 2, Marty Griffin takes the air. We'll talk to Marty in just a moment. And earlier this morning, had a chance to talk to Corey Comparator's sister, Kelly Meador. Corey killed a year ago Sunday in the assassination attempt of Donald Trump in Butler, and a very emotional and powerful conversation. And I want to share that with you because in light of the Secret Service suspensions, she and the family reflect on that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I can't imagine what life has been like in the past year. It was hard to see your mom speak of her son, your brother. And as I understand it, for the first time, you were able to meet a David Dutch and James Copenhaver who were wounded that day. And what was that moment like?
Oh, you know, it was actually really good to finally lay eyes on them and see that they're healing. It's very hard also to see what they are enduring, what they're actually living with now. You know, our hearts and prayers have been with them since the tragedy, and it was finally, you know, it was finally nice to actually also meet their wives. And talk to them about what they've been through since the tragedy. It was really a touching bonding moment, and we really appreciated the opportunity to be able to do that.
I know when you said that you pray for them every day, that touched them very much emotionally, and I hope you know how much this community collectively, who didn't know your brother personally, certainly feel for him. Shielding his wife, Helen, and 2 daughters. Tell us about your brother. What do you want people to know about Corey?
I want you to know that my brother was just a genuinely good person. I mean, through and through. He served his country. He served his community. He was the ultimate girl dad. He visited my mother on Sunday. You know, every Sunday he visited my mother. He was just a good man. He was reliable. You could count on him. He did things for you that you didn't even ask him to do. That's just who he was.
And how are his girls getting along?
of course, when you've gone through a trauma like this, they have their ups and downs, but they've been able to return to work, and they're just doing their best to get through every day, because this is just a roller coaster of emotions for everybody. They experience something together that nobody should ever have to see. And our hearts break for them and for Helen every single day.
And how's your mom doing under the circumstances? We know it will never be the same, but your family talked about in the grief that there is joy too in his memory.
Yeah. You know, my mom really struggles. It's hard to wrap your brain around, and I can probably speak for anybody that's been in this situation. My brother was murdered.
Yes.
He went there that day, a happy, healthy, strong man, and he didn't come home. That's the hardest thing for us, is to actually say, my brother was murdered. My son was murdered. My mom's really struggling. She's having a very hard time. He was her only son. There was just, you know, the three of us, my brother, my sister, and me. And our family is broken. It's incomplete. And she is really struggling, as does probably most parents. I can't say that for myself. But most parents that have lost a child, it's just not the natural order of things to bury a child. My mom has Parkinson's, and ever since the event, there has been a visible difference in her emotional and physical health. And it's taken a toll on all of us, but it's really taken a toll on my mom.
With Kelly Meador, Corey Comparator's sister, you mentioned your brother was murdered. And everybody in the world has no doubt seen at least once, and many of us countless times, every time they show what happened in that moment, I can't imagine what goes through your mind. It's in the most public way possible. Sure you don't want to see it again.
You relive it over and over again. Every time I see it, it takes me back to that very moment that we watched it happen on live TV. We knew when they were carrying him down the bleachers with his head wrapped in a bloody towel that those were my brother's boots. It was the most awful experience. We just knew. There's no words to actually describe. And we tried to stay off of the news. We tried to stay off of social media. We tried to do that. But at the same time, you're compelled to turn the news on to see what they're saying today, to see if there's any news, any new developments in what actually happened. But at the same time, you just don't want to see it again.
And that said, Kelly, and I know, and we do want to talk about how you're going to honor your brother this weekend in particular in a moment, but also the fact that at a time like this, at this anniversary, there's probably part of you that wants to get beyond it.
Getting beyond it involves getting true, real answers. Our family really wants accountability for what happened.
In your great grief, there is anger. And as you have heard, when we just reported this today, 6 Secret Service agents have been temporarily suspended. What would you like to see happen for your family?
You know, the whole thing about the Secret Service personnel being suspended, now they're saying that, you know, they're now addressing the operational failures. They now have a new fleet of military drones. They now have mobile command posts that allow the agents to communicate over radios directly with the local law enforcement. Those things weren't there that day. We want to know why. Why were these Secret Services, why are they being suspended now without pay for 10 to 42 days? We've been without Corey for a year. My brother's dead. He's never coming back. They can return to their jobs on restricted duty. My brother's never coming back. You know, the deputy director, Quinn, he admitted that the Secret Service is totally accountable for Butler. that Butler was an operational failure and that they're laser focused on ensuring that it never happens again. What is an operational failure? This was layers upon layers of incompetence that we believe truly boils down to criminal negligence. What does this accountability look like for us, for Corey's family? Are we supposed to sleep better knowing that someone whose complete and utter incompetence that led to my brother being murdered in front of his family on national TV for us to watch over and over again for weeks, that they went 10 days without pay? Is that supposed to make us feel better? Like, why now? It's been a year. Why now?
Kelly Meador, the sister of Corey Comparator. And Saturday, people from around the country will gather at Freeport Area High School for a motorcycle ride, Corey's Cruise, and if you can, help support the family.